Thanks for listening to the Susie Larson Life Podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Life. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I think you may know the answer to this question if you've listened to the show long enough, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Did you know that the emotional and relational pain that you live with, you know, the stuff that sits under the surface that's unresolved, did you know that stuff profoundly impacts your physical health? The thing is, we have a place to go with our pain. We serve a Savior who is also a healer. And Scripture says, for by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, not a result of work, so no man can boast about being saved. That word saved means more than saved from the penalties of judgment. The word is sozo. So for by grace we are made well, we're made whole, we're healed, we're restored, and we're saved from the penalties of judgment. Numerous times in Scripture, salvation, if you dig deep, that word means so much more than eternal salvation. It means that and then some. Isn't it amazing that we serve a God who cares about the human condition? Well, author and fitness professional Elisa Keaton joins me today to talk about her brilliant book, The Body Revelation, Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. I endorse this book. It's a heavy hardcover book. And to me, this is like a manual to inner healing and physical fitness and health. I mean, she goes after the deep root causes of some of the things that we deal with. And why do some go to eating for comfort? Why do some go to different indulgences for comfort? Why do we let pain linger when we've got a Savior who can help us metabolize our pain? There's so much in this book, and we've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And as always, I'm going to ask you to engage with me in a real and honest way. So here's my question for you. What in you still needs healing? What in you? Maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe you've got an issue with your colon, or you've got plantar fasciitis, or maybe it's on a deeper level. Maybe it's your soul. Maybe there's a memory. Maybe there's a wound from someone that is still wounding you, that it's not healed yet. It's not resolved yet. Can you text me and tell me what in you still needs healing? Text me 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Elisa Keaton is a leading certified wellness professional with more than 20 years of experience. She's a wholehearted pursuer of God's love. I can testify to that. She's dedicated to educating and inspiring people to live healthy and whole lives in Christ. After more than 25 years as a fitness professional, Elisa felt God leading her to bring fresh meaning to the world of health and fitness. In 2011, Elisa launched Revelation Wellness, a nonprofit ministry that uses fitness as a tool to spread the gospel message and invites participants to become their whole selves designed by God. Elisa, welcome back to the show. So good to have you.
Susie, always a get to. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Thank you, my dear. Well, you know this. You've been on plenty of times. Tell me this. What's the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Oh my goodness. The Lord has been talking to me about focus, about focus, the distraction and the busyness of this world. I fall prey to it quite a bit, and I know what's right to do. And for me, it's this drawing away and getting focus, cutting out the excess. So I'm grateful. He just doesn't leave us as we are. He's always evolving and maturing us.
That's amazing. So good. Well, I don't know that in 16 years of radio, I don't know that I've ever done this where I've opened a show with a question about the book's dedication, but I am curious about this. Okay. You dedicated this book to your parents. You wrote to my mama, a woman who lived with so much pain while here on earth, but who now dances with Jesus and moves freely. Because of your story and love for Jesus, others will read this book and be set free. And to my dad, a complicated man whose need for Jesus led our family to Jesus and whose prayers I now stand on today. You both now live a life in heaven that your pain made hard to live on earth. Wow, I would love to hear more about that. Unpack that if you don't mind.
Oh, now you got me crying. You're actually the first interview to ever read that. Yeah. this book was definitely a labor of love. I felt like growing up in a home where there was so much dysfunction and unavailable mature people there, adults there, but couldn't access them because they were so busy with their own story of brokenness. And it was a hard growing up place for sure, but it is the thing that led us to Jesus. I said, my father, as much as he was much of the pain and the unfaithfulness to my mother in marriage. And so I could cause or say, you're the cause of pain. I learned later, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. Jesus gave me that perspective. And so I knew, like Joseph, I'm going to do something with this pain. I want to do something. And so I can now say, as Joseph says, once he has his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and Manasseh means I remember my pain no more. And Ephraim means God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. And that is what this book is about, is taking the pain of my youth, a thing that could have destroyed me, could have really sent me into a path of destruction. I mean, Susie, without Jesus coming into my life, I have no doubt I would probably be divorced four times over, have eating disorders, addictions, all kinds. I would be a train wreck, but Jesus. And honestly, Susie, it was my father's prayers, even as broken as a man he was on this earth. I never saw him live a life of grabbing the gospel. They believed in Jesus. They loved Jesus, but they never let Jesus love them, like get into the inner workings of them. And because of that, that actually turned me away from faith. But once I began to turn back because I had need, I'm positive it was my parents that prayed for me to be a believer and to forgive them, I'm sure, and which I definitely did do later in life with them.
So you describe, you know, as a young girl sitting at the table and your dad not being home and then telling your mom he'll mm-hmm. be gone again next week. And I'm trying to imagine as a young girl. And then you said when you tried to get their attention, that's when you'd get their attention and they'd say, do the dishes or clean the room. So you either felt invisible or when you tried to get their attention, oh, you're here. Go do this. Go do that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine. So talk to me about some of the takeaways of that. Before you started to heal, before God got a hold of you, what were some of the lies that you picked up?
Oh, such a good question. Oh, the lies were, you don't matter. You have to make a lot of noise to be seen. You use your emotions. You can get big or you can get small. And I actually saw my older brother, get small. He would pull back. He would get real quiet. He would just wait out the storm. And I think that made even more emptiness in the house, more quiet. And I just wouldn't. I would get loud. I would be the one screaming, fire, fire, this isn't right. And of course, rebelliously as well, not saying the best things at all. But yeah, it was this, you're either invisible or you're too much. Now you used your voice so much, you're in trouble. Oh gosh, Susie, how many days I've spent grounded in my room in my teenage years. So much pain, just being shoved around. And that's really why I wrote the book, to say, if we don't deal with our own stuff inside, it's things that we will pass on to others and blame others for. And the cycle of sin just enlarges and gets bigger. So the book teaches people how to not ignore your pain, but what to do with it. Because as I talk about in the book, energy, which is pain to me, anything in life we live as an experience, you feel that in your body. Joy has a felt experience in it. That felt experience, there's chemistry inside of you that God has created to erupt, whether good or bad. And that chemistry gets our body to do the thing it needs to do. And if that chemistry is one of pain that is connected to adversity, trouble, and trauma of our youth, if it never gets dealt with, it stores up in our body. And we wonder why we act out sideways. I was acting out sideways for so many years, blaming people and then hitting the gym, right? I would go to the gym, control, control, and then trying to just manage my life. And it wasn't wasn't until I realized the disconnection that I was believing one thing with my heart, saying one thing with my words, but my actions did not add up, that I knew there's a disconnect. And that's where I got to this root cause of this lived experience. Our belief doesn't just affect our belief isn't just for our mind, it's for our biology too. And I realized that my growing up in that traumatic environment, that stressful environment, that environment of being unseen or too much, changed the organization and structure of my brain, which makes it hard for me to think, feel, and choose what's best, even though I know what's best. And it downregulates our immune system. So that's kind of coming for the body of Christ to say, hey, here are the facts. This is facts don't have feelings. This is just what happens to us. So shame off of you. And we can do something, because as you said in the intro, salvation is for healing. It's for our body. It's for all parts of us.
Mm. Beautifully said. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about not only how you got unstuck, like how life started to spring up and how God's love started to make sense to you, but just the plan that you've established in this book, the warm up, the workout, the cool down. And you're using, of course, the metaphor of fitness, but the warm up, friends, here that stage one is surviving. Stage two, recognizing your pain. Workout, expressing your energy. Stage four, humbling yourself. The cool down. Five is staying the course. Stage six is taking ownership. We're going to walk through that a little bit. But I asked you, where in you, what in you still needs to be healed? This dear listener said, I'm trying to find forgiveness for my dad for never being there. And this dear one says, the pain of my husband calling me names, telling me that I'm not the person I say, apologies, but turning around and names again about my faith and how lazy I am, that God's not going to do things for me. I'm sorry for what I'm sharing, but in a hard place of sadness. Wow, honey, I'm so sorry. God bless you. Father, I just pray for that dear one. I pray that there'd be such a strong sense of your love that she would know lies when she hears them, and they wouldn't go into that inner court place of her soul, Lord Jesus, that she would see that hurt people, and her hubby's hurting, and so he's trying to hurt her. But I pray you'd heal her, and I pray you'd strengthen her, and you'd bless her. In Jesus' name. More with Alisa Keaton in a moment. If you're a new listener, we want to officially welcome you with a free welcome pack gift. Request yours today at myfaithradio.com. This is an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend Alisa Keaton today. Her book is titled The Body Revelation, Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. As I said, I endorse this book. It's like a big, thick hardcover handbook on inner healing, on wholeness, on activating your body. Like when you move, physically move and exercise, it actually helps you heal. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But my question for you is, what in you still needs healing? Maybe it's a physical healing, but maybe it's a memory or a soul healing. Tina says this, I need healing from autoimmune disease called scleroderma. Internally need healing from hurts of rejection in the past, which for some reason leads me to feel like I need to be liked by others, and it exhausts me. Father, I pray for absolute, deep, profound healing for Tina. I pray for physical healing, that this disease would be cut off in Jesus' name and stop. But I also pray for the deeper healing, that rejection would be broken off of her. In fact, Tina, I just challenge you to say, I reject rejection in Jesus' name. I accept acceptance. We just say, thank you, God, that you're for Tina and that you love her. And I'm thinking, Alisa, you were so brave to tell us some of your story at the opening of the show as a young girl, that you had a dad who was stepping out on your family once in a while, and you're left with anger, with insecurity, and I'm sure rejection. And you found fitness, and you kind of found your calling, and you were excellent at it, but you got married and realized you brought with you a lot of this emotional trauma. So talk about how you started to heal and what you've learned since.
Well, I think as I heard the gospel, like really was ready to hear the gospel, I went to church reluctantly. I was scared to go because I knew I would be going by myself. My husband was clearly told me very beginning when I married him that he wasn't a man of faith. But if that worked for me, that would be fine, but not for him, which it was my lie, back to the deepest lie I believed in my life that I inherited from my mother was if someone would love me, if a man would love me, unlike my father that never did, but when a man loves me, I will be well. It will be better for me. Mm-hmm. And so to not have that, to be quickly aware in marriage that wasn't, marriage doesn't make love. Like it doesn't fill that void. It's a commitment that actually brings a lot of the brokenness to the surface. And so when I went to church by myself, it was a courageous step to go. And the funny thing about that story, Susie, is I purposely went knowing, oh, they're going to do that worship thing with their bodies and lifting their hands at the beginning. So I'll go late to the message. And I did that. And that was where I heard John 4, the woman at the well. And I knew my number was up. Jesus was calling me. I heard that gospel. And it started to change me. It started to change me first with just knowing someone knew me. Someone knows me. I'm going to even cry right now. Because even in my marriage now of 25 years, which spoiler alert, my husband is now a believer, but it was a long road to get there. And even still, he cannot love me like Jesus can, like God does. There's such a deep love. And so for those people that are hurting right now, I've heard those prayer requests. My goodness, my heart, it reaches out for you. And I pray you would encounter, not just know in your head, but know in your body, that it would be that experience of the hormones that do release, of the certainty and the neurochemistry that changes because he loves all of who you are, not just your soul to be saved, but your body to be able and go and make joy of heaven seen. So for me, it was first getting the salvation of my soul, but then I began to see, I believe these words of what Jesus said. I was falling in love with the word of God. It was everything for me, but I saw that my actions were not adding up, that I would go to my quiet time and I would feel secure and safe and warm and fuzzy, but then I would have to go out into the world and raise my kid and be with my husband another day who wasn't believing at that time. And man, did it frustrate me. It made me feel crazy. Like, who am I? I know this, but I can't live it out. And so I came to a real crash point, and I was doing ministry, Susie. I was leading ministry. I was leading Bible studies. And that's what makes my heart kind of ache for the church.
Yeah.
Because I believe there are so many people who run to the church for the healing, for the safety of Jesus, because they know no other place can you be saved but by Christ, by the power of the gospel. But we don't get known. We don't do that deeper inner work of the lies that we believe that brought us to the truth, into the light, out of darkness. We don't know. And we also don't know how to do that when we maybe don't even have language for it, that we don't know we don't believe something until we're actually doing the actions. And then we feel shame because we overeat or because we look at pornography or whatever we do. So we stay in the darkness. But our bodies are the ultimate expression of how we're doing. They really are. Yeah. How I hold my face, how I walk into a room and can bring hope. I can bring resource to the room because I'm so aware of God who is heaven, that it isn't just for my brain. It's for my soul, my heart, and my mind too. And then my body makes that seen. So when I couldn't get my body to say the things, do the things, I couldn't walk in the direction for forgiveness. I knew it was what I was going to do. I needed to do, but I just couldn't do it. I knew I was at a pass. And that was where I sat down with the Lord and said, you got to do it. You have to, there's something wrong with me. I stopped blaming other people. I stopped saying the tapes over and over, because I knew that if you don't do something to teach me more about this revelation of soul wellness, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I'd rather, I have thought about leaving faith because I felt like a fraud, but I also know, where else am I going to go? With you are the words of life. So that's speak right to me. And he sat me down on the couch, and Susie, and I talk about this in the book. It was this weird one moment where he told me to close my Bible, close the Bible, which felt weird, right? Because we're trained, know the Bible, more scripture, read more, study more. And he said, don't pick up that Bible. Sit here with me. And I could cry right now. It was just this intimate moment where he's, I know you. I love you. Because the word is not just the logos word, the written word, but also the rhema word, the whispered words of God. And if we don't make space for the whispers, our body is half full. Our mind will be full of intellect, but our hearts will be far away. Jesus admonishes the religious who knew the scriptures. You diligently search those scriptures looking for me. But you refuse to come to me. And to come to Jesus requires your feet, your soul, your body, your whole self. And at Revelation Wellness and everything we do is to say, bring your whole self here. We don't have any judgment. Your body is great. If you are breathing, if you can hear my voice, you have life. And if your bones feel dry, I prophesy that word to you. Lay yourself down. Go ahead and be the dry valley of bones. God will come and blow into you, but ask him to come into all of who you are. And then consider yourself as you go out into the world as a person who isn't just saved by soul, but healed by body.
Come on.
And the actions you take show and demonstrate a kingdom who is kind and courageous.
Not just saved by soul, but healed by body. Somebody got to text me an amen. Somebody text me an amen. I mean, I want to say this carefully, but I really do believe that there are many, many Christians serving in the church. Serving in the church is important. Even leaders in the church who are hiding in their service.
Yes.
And truly, because and feeling like this is, I don't want to talk about that thing. Like God's putting his finger on something and he allows something to emerge and surface. It's like, well, I don't want to talk about that, but I'll go join another committee. And I really, and again, I want to honor serving in your local church. But truly, there needs to be a time. To me, there's a difference between compensating and confessing. Sometimes we're compensating for all of our frailties, our weaknesses, and our inconsistencies by joining another committee. Confessing is saying, I have needs, just like you did. You got to a place to say, I'm broken. Woo. Aren't we all? And I think, boy, it's important to discern the difference between the two, don't you?
Oh, 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. Couldn't agree more. We do need, we need just an honest look at our hearts without shame. And you know what, Susie? Now's the time. COVID kind of wiped us all out. We're all kind of still in the aftershock. It is a valley of dry bones. I do feel that. I sense that. And there are some amazing leaders and church community that keep showing up, but we're tired. We're weary. So lay your bones down and give him all of who you are. Say, God, you got to come in and do a work from my soul to my skin and a love encounter with who God is. It changes everything. But we have to make space. Enough with all the busy.
Enough with all the busy. It's time to make space. So a few questions for your friend as we're going out to break. Do you believe he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever? When you follow Jesus around the Gospels, do you see a Savior who addresses the human condition, who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds? Because he is the same God. Now I want to ask you, can you imagine a healthier, healed you? Physically healthier, emotionally, spiritually, relationally healthier? Because you're making space, and instead of compensating for your weaknesses, blaming others, joining another committee, trying to hide in your service, you're confessing them. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are those who know their need. When you come to the edges of yourself, you should rejoice, because that means there's now you know there's more of the kingdom to inherit. More with Elisa Keaton in a moment. This is an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We're talking about healing, about health and healing and the process that God takes us on to heal us from the inside out. And I've asked you to text in and what in you needs healing. And others, some have been rejected by parents. Others have been rejected by their adult kids. Others are battling cancer. Lord Jesus, bless all of you friends. We do follow a healer, and it always looks different than we think. But if we can remember that our Savior is also a healer, and he does give us the tools to deal with some of the relational and emotional pain, as my guest says, that directly impacts us physiologically. There are things we can do. There's always things we can do to move us towards healing. Alisa Keaton, she's a fitness professional, author, speaker. She's the founder of Revelation Wellness. Maybe you want to follow her on Instagram. She does these videos all the time. I'm at my desk and something will pop up and I get up and work out with you, Alisa, when I just see you. If you're doing squats, I'm doing squats. But anyway, you always have these really great short devos. Her book is The Body Revelation. It's a big hardcover book and the subtitle, Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and to Connect to God with Your Whole Self. To me, this is about inner healing. This is about physical fitness. It's about physical health. It's the whole picture and the whole body. And one of the things Alisa writes, God's desire is to transform us until there's nothing left but his love with breath, bones, and muscle covered in skin. I love that. Once he clears out the dangerous desires we carry inside of us, we're free to become the people we were always meant to be. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So let's look at this, the plan that you have, the warm-up, the workout, the countdown. The warm-up is in two stages, just surviving and then recognizing your pain. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we have to drop the pin on just the fact that you are breathing and living has everything to do with desire. God desired you since eternity past. I love that scripture says, long before he laid down the foundations of the world, he had you in mind, you mm-hmm. in mind to be made holy and whole by his love. So that you have been on his mind since eternity past. This is a desire of his heart. You are desired. You are wanted. And we have desires. He allows us to have free will. He had it. That was part of his design, right? Free will isn't part of the fall. It is part of what he wanted to give us the opportunity to choose him, because love is only love if there's choice. Otherwise, he would be a tyrant. He's a good God. And what a risk. I don't know. I'm like, if I was God, I think I would just make you all love me. But that's why I have wickedness in my heart. God trusts his love. Isn't that amazing, Susie, to think
amazing.
He trusted his love enough that he thinks, I think you're going to choose me. You're going to want me. And so we have desires. We're born into sin. We're not born saints. We're born into sin, which is why this book needs to take us back to a little bit to how were your formative years? What was your home environment life? If your home environment was not one where you felt safe or heard or nurtured or cared for in a compassionate, kind way, then that will affect how you see God. It draws us further away from him. And so then you will desire and worship created things rather than Creator God, because those things will keep us alive, right? I can survive by just having the things I want, but it doesn't necessarily set me free. We can be saved and not completely free. And so I have to drop the pin. We have to drop the pin on survival. I talk about, again, back to the energy we have, that everything in life rises or falls on energy. God is the source of energy. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transferred on to someone else or transformed into something else. And our desires have energy to them, which is why, I mean, that's why you get neuroscience that shows if you think positively, prayer itself can help shift someone into a better mental state of hope and gratitude, that's a chemical thing that's happening inside of us. The unseen places of us are more important than the seen places. I need to say that again. When it comes to your health, the unseen part of you is the more important part. And that unseen stuff are the desires that flow in us and come out of us. So that stage one kind of just drops the pin on the basics of survival. You can survive and not be transformed or set free. Then we move into that stage.
Let's pause right there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's pause if you don't mind. So two things are coming to my mind. One is I have a counselor friend who told me about 8 years ago, we were out to lunch, and I wrote about this in Fully Alive, but she said, you wouldn't believe. So this is pre-pandemic, so I can only imagine how true it is even more so now. But she said, you wouldn't believe how my colleagues and I are inundated by my clients who have all these weird physiological symptoms that doctors have shrugged their shoulders and say, we don't know. But she said over and over again, we untangle some of the childhood trauma, or maybe they're in a marriage that's not loving, but they untangle and disentangle from the lies, rejection, and trauma. And then they encounter the love of God. More often than not, the symptoms just fall by the wayside. I'm not saying it's always, but she said it happens often. And I'm wondering, with all these clients that you work with, especially those who maybe are coming in and hate themselves, or maybe maybe they're way overweight, or maybe they're just 10 pounds overweight, but they think they treat themselves like they're 100 pounds. You know what I'm saying? How often is there trauma and even like self-rejection and those kinds of things behind it all?
I would honestly say about 70% of the time, which actually goes along with the statistics for mental health, that 70% of people have experienced at least one traumatic moment in their life. And it isn't trauma. Let me make this really clear. Two people can go through the same adverse traumatic moment and have different results depending on how resourced they are in their inner being. If I grew up in a home where I was resourced more with safety, attachment, love, patience, peace, kindness, then I can bounce back from that traumatic moment a little easier, be more resilient than someone who didn't have that. And that's why in the book, in stage two, I talk about recognizing pain. We have to realize that we have desires. They don't all serve us well. And those desires, if misplaced and misused, they leave effect on us. And that effect of pain changes us. It changes us in our spirituality, and it changes us in our physicality. So I talk about the ACE study in this book, which looks at how many traumatic moments or your environment you grew up in. It kind of scores your internal or your external environment you grew up in, your home life, or your internal environment, things that maybe happened to you. If you were held against your will and your body was violated in some way, you didn't feel safe, cared for, your basic needs weren't met, you didn't know if you were going to be able to get to the doctor one day if you needed it. Those things add up. And there is a study that shows that for how many of these adverse moments you check the box and say yes to, then your susceptibility to chronic health illness, autoimmune disorders, disease, cancers, and early death rise. That's why this is important. When Jesus says, Susie, in Matthew 6, do not worry about what you will eat or drink. And you know, don't the birds, I'd care for them. The worry, the stress, when every time you replay the traumatic moment and you stay stuck in that moment and just keep yourself busy by going on another diet or getting busy at church, and still that stuff doesn't get addressed. If that stuff does not get addressed, it's not that worry or stress makes God look bad or you look bad as a Christian. It is detrimental to the design, to the very design. Your body was not created to hold worry, stress, and that rejection and that type of energy that says you are bad, you are no good. Because the enemy, who is the enemy? Not the person who hurt you. The enemy is the enemy. Not the person who did the violation to you, even though it hurts. The enemy is hoping that that pain that came through that person's hand will kill, still, and destroy you. And if you sit with it and hold that pain, it will do just that. And Susie, that was the story of my mother. My mother lived through so much pain, and she had a good, good heart, but lived through so much rejection, so much that she continued to hold on. She was more of a suppressor with her emotions, would care for everybody and never use her voice until it was time to use her voice. Then you better get out of the way, because she would explode or suppress. And she never really fully forgave my father for his indiscretions. And she lived her whole life hoping he would change, hoping, hanging her hat on the hope that he would change. And she died of ovarian cancer, stage 4, and so many other things that she had in her life. I mean, she had Bell's palsy. Her body was always taking a hit. And I know that, not to say it's all contributed to, we're all going to get sickness, that is going to happen. But if we don't get to the root of those things, we are just carrying around this toxic stew inside of us. And I believe, Susie, that I don't believe we can lengthen our days. Like, the Lord knows how many days we are going to live. but I do believe we can shorten them. And I do believe we have an enemy that wants to get it as short as possible.
And also diminish the quality of life. I mean, that's one of the things I think of often, Elise says, that when we see Jesus face to face and we have that glimmering moment when we realize I had access to all the promises. I had access to his presence, his provision, to engage with him, to contend. I always say the abundant life, just because Jesus won it for us doesn't mean it arrives with a nice bow on our doorstep. We have to contend for these things. And I don't, that's what gets me out of bed every day is we have to contend for some of these things that God has won, Jesus won for us. And boy, you think about having that flickering moment going, I lived far beneath my spiritual privilege because I didn't want to do the work. I didn't want to engage. Yeah. And we want you to engage, right?
Yes. And can I say that the work with him, it is easy and light. There is a yoke. There is work to do, everyone. But it doesn't look like the world. It's kindness. It's compassion. It's slow. It starts from rest, not work. It's upside down. The way to get healthy in the kingdom is opposite of the ways you have heard, especially in this era of diet culture that we have lived through. And we're all kind of, you know, wading through the wreckage of it. Okay, what is my body for? We really can't go back. If we go back to the 80s and 90s in diet culture, then nobody's free. But we also can't live in a place where we neglect our bodies and use our freedom to destroy our freedom. There is a way, the truth and the life, but it is kind, it is easy, it is slow. And it does start, might I say, your first place is just choosing to be the beloved. He loves me. He doesn't see my body the way I see my body. He doesn't shame me the way I shame my body. And then to go after those deeper lies of taking thoughts captive, but not just taking them captive. They got to go on trial. I talk about that in the book. I jump to another stage, but we get there.
No, talk about that. Talk about putting them on trial. What does that look like?
Well, that looks like there are thoughts we have. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to take every thought captive and make it obedience to Christ. I think a lot of people know that verse and they know it in their head. And so when the thought shows up, if they're clued up to go, oh, I'm having that thought, then they'll just take it captive and I'm not going to think that and kind of throw it off to the side. And there are some thoughts that come that I can just cast them. They don't come back. But the ones that keep coming, like for me, nobody loves you. No, but your husband doesn't love you. He's not. All of that idolatry of my heart, your lies are often connected to our idols, right? The thing we really want the most, that's where the enemy goes, all right, I'm going to keep sending lies that way. I had to get after that lie and not just take it captive, but take it before the Lord to say, when did this thing start? I walk through this in the book about having the Holy Spirit. I kind of do this scenario of you in a courtroom, like you have someone who has done something against you and you want them in jail. You got to go to court and you got to get to the truth that they did this and they deserve their time in prison or whatever it is. And I walk through that scenario. But the first thing before you can go and put the enemy in captivity, you got to get before the Holy Spirit, your counselor, your lawyer, and let him ask you questions so that you can present the best case to take that enemy and tell him eternal damnation. You have no right here. But do you see what we do? We don't do that. We don't get with the Holy Spirit. Our advocate literally means advocate, like lawyer, to go, hey, let's get to the bottom of what happened. What were you doing when you had this desire? Where did this lie? Where did this come from? What do you think the enemy was trying to do? As we unpack the bigger questions, then we have a case that we can present that then when the judgment is in, it's final. It's not a misdemeanor. This is final. We can put this one to bed, but that takes time and space to go, I need to take this thought on trial. It's going to take a little more time than just put that thought in captivity. Yeah, it's more than we've been told, but we need to take the space to do it.
Reminds me so much, friends who are listening, of my conversations with Melissa Coleman, a lawyer friend who came on and talked about mercy trials in the heavenly courts. You might want to just make a note and catch that show because it was so fantastic. But as we go to break, you said something else that really hit me, that when you're operating out of brokenness, you use your freedom to destroy your freedom. Wow, that's kind of one of those mind-boggling moments. I feel like that's happening on a national level. People are using their freedom to destroy our freedoms. But we do this to ourselves. Paul says all things are lawful, not all are profitable. So what is hindering? What's slowing down? Are you exercising freedoms that are actually destroying your soul freedom? God wants you free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we're just getting going, and we only have one segment left. Can you believe it? So we talked about the warm-up, which is two stages, surviving and then recognizing your pain. Now the workout, these are the phases of healing. Stage three is expressing your energy, and four is humbling yourself. We'll tackle those when we get back. More with Elisa Keaton in a moment. If you listen to me often enough, you know I believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says the prayer of the righteous accomplishes great and powerful things. I am passionate about prayer, and we all need it, and we would love to pray for you. The Faith Radio team, we're serious about prayer, and we pray for specific listener requests every single week. So if you have a request, if you're walking through a difficult time, you can share your prayer request with us anonymously and securely on our website at myfaithradio.com. You're listening to an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend, fitness expert, author, speaker, Elisa Keaton. Her new book is just brilliant. I was so honored and happy to endorse it. The Body Revelation, Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. As I said, it's really so much bigger than physical fitness. It's about inner healing and wholeness and redemption, about really going after the lies that you picked up when life let you down and metabolizing your pain, not letting it linger and continuing to lie to you. And she writes this: the only thing that can heal us, teach us, and empower us is to change is God's love. In Christ, we are new creations. It's possible to love God, but never let his love truly change us. For the sake of God's goodness, let Jesus love the pain, the hurt, and the shame right out of you. 5 copies to give away today. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So we're looking at your plan, your healing plan, and you use the physical workout kind of as a metaphor. The warm-up, we talked about surviving and recognizing your pain. The workout now is expressing your energy and humbling yourself. You touched on these a bit, but maybe say a bit more.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on them fast because I want to get to the cool down phase.
All right. All right.
Who does it?
Right.
Yes. The workout phase, for sure. This being able to express, we have to take whatever is inside of us and get it out of us. Now, people that tend to suppress their emotions down, that can feel a little uncomfortable. But unless what's in us makes its way out of us, we will continue to act sideways. So I talk about ways that we can begin to express that are healthy. Feelings are good things. Feelings are not bad. They're also not facts. Feelings are like the North Star. It helps me to know where I am in orientation to the kingdom of God that is righteousness, peace, and joy. So the feelings, I start to walk through that stage to help people have a healthier relationship back with feelings, how to have a feeling without necessarily doing a feeling or doing an emotion. And that's where kindness and compassion and mindfulness show up. I think what happened for me as a child, if I had a feeling that was a big emotion, I didn't have someone there compassionately kind to me to say, it's okay to have this emotion. You're okay. You can, you know, let whatever you need. It was just my emotions were too much for my mom because her emotions were too much for her. So we have to come back to a place of expression and then humbling ourselves. This is the point of the book where everything changes, because the truth is the rest of the world can do these first three things. They can figure out, you know, yeah, I'm desiring some not great things. I'm going to change my desires. Oh, pain has changed the organization structure. Oh, so this is actually changing my physical body. Huh, I should probably do something about that. Hey, I'm going to, instead of expressing myself by going to the bar or doing ever, I'm going to start working out. I'm going to find healthy ways to express, right? So the world can do that, but it's at the humble place. This is where everything changes so that we can go into the cool down. Humility is the access point to all things being made new. And repentance is a kindness thing. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to a repentance, that leads us to the humility that says, God, I'm tired of making this about everyone else. I need freedom from this. I humble myself before you. And that's what I did. In that moment, I humbled myself before the Lord. And he said, put your Bible down. It was this, I'm now going to show you who I am, because you are at the end of yourself, which is what the Beatitudes are. You're blessed when you're poor in spirit. There is the kingdom of heaven waiting for you. So in that stage, we really have to get to, this is God's desire. God has wanted to be with you. If this body issue, your health has been a struggle that you've had your whole life, what if this was the secret place that God wants to be with you? What if this is the thing that keeps you to him and tied to him? And then he can heal. And when you get healed, don't forget him. Then just go on with your life. No, it is the thing that now you have been so loved by him. You go like the woman at the well, and you tell people about it and make disciples. So we have to get to that phase of humility and asking for help, being okay with asking for help, being able to rest. That's a really big thing. The people of God, there is still a rest that stands for the people of God. It's our unbelief that keeps us going back to the diet program, or back to the counting, back to I'm going to beat my body into submission. All good things start from rest. Then once we kind of move, that humility point happens, and that really is the linchpin of the book, then we can go into the cool down, which, who doesn't love the cool down? This is the stuff. This is the stuff, everyone. We were made for an easy and light yoke, but we have an enemy that wants to keep you surviving. All right, maybe having some recognizing and expressing. That now we turn into the last two stages, which is staying the course. So when we are humble ourselves, we're lifted up. It's in humility we realize, I'm a child of God. My body is for the goodness of God. Okay, I'm getting a new identity. I'm a child of God. My body's good. And that puts me in right standing with God. This adoption as sonship, which is not a spirit of fear. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And from that, we can stay the course. We're not orphans. We have a new reality. We operate from the kingdom. I get to talk a little bit about the kingdom of faith. Everyone, you are to live by faith. When Jesus comes back, will he find faith on the earth? If we live on earth trying to make things look the way we think they should look, that's not faith. We have to have faith for the unseen. A substance of a little bit of faith is the access point to the kingdom, so that our bodies are hosting heaven all the time. But that's, I only have that key because I'm a son or a daughter. I can't host heaven. If I don't have that key of who I am, I won't host heaven. So the whole point of this book is to get people to this point of, here's who you are. Here's what your body is for. And we access that because we have been forgiven. And we forgive others, so we have to work through that. And people might go, Elisa, that doesn't sound much like a cool down. Forgiveness is a gift. It is not a punishment. It's not a hard, fiery thing. If you do the work, and by the way, Susie, you know this, in the book, I don't just want you to read the book. I want you to go on a walk with me, and we're going to work out some of this stuff. So each chapter has a metabolized section where you will actually process this. You're going to move any part of your body you can move. You're going to do some stillness with me. You're going to get into your body and let God encounter you, not just in your head with good information, but in your heart, where that's what he came for, is the heart. So in that stage of staying the course, we learn how to remain, abide. I'm a child of God. You cannot have me back, world. I am not going back into this cycle of unhealth, thinking about my body or thinking about my circumstances in that way. I walk by faith, not by sight. I focus on the unseen things, because it's the unseen things that are eternal. Back to, your body can be any shape or size you want it to be, as long as you have the heart God wants you to have. I can't see your heart. That's an unseen thing. But if you focus on that unseen, all these other things will work themselves out. That's where we live from the inside out when we stay the course. Then the final phase is to take ownership. Like, we can now have the key. We belong to the kingdom of God. We are children of God. All the access, the resources of heaven are ours. You can pull on it, tug on it, bother God for it. He even says that, bother me. The woman who wants the, Jesus tells a story about the widow who wants justice. And she asks that judge, and he's not a good judge, and she bothers him. And God goes, that judge finally gave in. Jesus tells a story, and he says the judge finally gives in because he's just tired of being bothered. How much better will your Father in heaven give to you? Bother him, ask again. And as we have a key, we can hold ownership. The hard part for us, and I want everyone to know this, the
just
hardest
got about 20
part for us,
15 seconds left,
okay,
probably
will be patience, everyone. Patience, yeah. Be still and know, take time. Get space, slow down, and margin, because the world wants you to move fast. And when you move fast, you lose the key.
When you move fast, you lose the key. Listen to the podcast once the live show is over. Take some notes and do what the Lord's asking you to do. Great word today. God bless you all. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you, Elisa. Love you so much. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.